The Science Show first broadcast warnings about climate 44 years ago.
You will simply be confronted with a situation which will make life virtually intolerable. It also reminds us of the enormous stupidity of policies over the last 40 years. Now, we were very emphatic in 1963. That's 12 years ago. You know, these are the years that the locusts have eaten. We've really wasted our opportunity. In 1963, we were talking at the UN conference on new source of energy, which is rather sardonic, because we weren't talking about atomic energy at all. We were talking about the oldest source of energy, which is the sun and the wind and the water and geothermal. There is nothing that we're now discussing with such alarm and despondency that we weren't discussing over the last 25, 30 years.
That was 1975. We're about to enter 2020.
What we need is not an incremental approach, but a transformational one. We need a rapid and deep change in the way we do business, how we generate power, how we build cities, how we move, and how we feed the world. If we don't urgently change our way of life, we jeopardize life itself.
UN leader Antonio Guterres, and so to Sydney, Australia, last week.
I'm Lucas Saunders, I'm 14 and I'm a school strike organiser from the Blue Mountains.
And I'm Ambrose Hayes, also 14 and I'm a school striker from Sydney.
I'm here today because, like many of you, I have seen the effects of climate change and I am angry at the government's inaction. Who else is angry? Most of them don't know what it feels like to be a kid living in the bush, walking out of your house and only seeing the red of a fire on the horizon. These people have probably never packed their possessions into a car and driven off not knowing whether they'll see their house again. That's why we're standing here in front of Liberal Party headquarters today. They have the power to do something about this crisis, yet they're pretending that it's not happening. What do you think of that? I'm here today because our government is obligated to help its people and are doing no such thing. It's not even summer yet, and already New South Wales and Queensland are in the grips of a catastrophic fire crisis. It's already burned more than the last 3 years combined. The mining and burning of coal, oil and gas is the main driver of climate change, which is causing these record-breaking fires, droughts, heat waves and the weather conditions that are fueling them, pushing rural communities to the brink and even us here in Sydney. What do you think of that? People have died. People have lost their homes and others have had to evacuate. Indigenous leaders have been warning the governments of this spiralling bushfire crisis, but it's fallen on deaf ears. Communities are hurting, and they deserve more than our government's empty words. They deserve action on this crisis to protect them from further impacts.
And that's why we're here today, in solidarity with the people who have been affected, to support the bushfire appeal and to demand real climate action. This means increasing support for Indigenous land management, increasing support for the Rural Fire Service, taking serious and immediate action on climate change, which means no new coal, oil and gas projects, including Adani's Carmichael Mine. 100% renewable energy generation and exports by 2030. And funding for just transition and jobs for workers in the fossil fuel industry and their communities. It's time for action, not words. And in the light of the destruction and pain caused by these fires, the Australians that have had to evacuate, those that have lost their homes, and even those that have died, It's time for 1 minute of silence to show our solidarity. The minute of silence starts now. Cheyenne is an 18-year-old school striker from Nimboda, near Grafton in New South Wales. She recently lost her home to the bushfires, together with 80 of the 300 homes in her community. Please make Cheyenne very welcome.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Cheyenne Broderick from Nimboida, New South Wales. On Friday, the 8th of November, catastrophic bushfires swept through Nimboida in a wave of destruction. It was unstoppable. We are so, so lucky in our community that everyone survived. We woke up that morning and started to finish preparing for my 18th birthday party that was planned for that night. We quickly had to cancel it due to receiving an evacuation warning text message. The fact that the sky was darkening from a grey to an orange to red reinforced the seriousness. The smoke choked the air as it had for weeks and weeks beforehand, and the huge glow coming over the hill that we could see from our back veranda kept getting bigger. Whole scorched leaves fell from the sky and ashes blew in with the wind, covering every surface. We packed some possessions, although at the time I thought it was just as a precaution. Our house wouldn't really burn down, would it? My friend Andy, who came down from Brisbane for the party, and I evacuated at 2:50. My brother was safe at school and my parents left home at 4:30, by which time it was too dark to see without headlights on the car. They said they could just hear the roar from the fire. The scenes were apocalyptic and terrifying. There was an eerie feeling something bad was about to happen. I stayed at a friend's house in Grafton that night. I spent it trying to get in contact with people, my friends who had stayed at home in Nimboida, trying to call them to see if everyone was safe. A friend messaged me around 6 p.m. and told me the house had gone and their dad had only just made it out alive. I woke up the next morning to be informed that my house had also gone, but we were so lucky to still have the shed and the horses. The fire stormed through Glens Creek Road and Frickers Road where we live and left it stripped bare. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for so much for all your support and kindness and generosity. The overwhelming support from the community has been incredible and we're so grateful for everything everyone is doing to help us. But Mr. Morrison, as Prime Minister, your prayers and thoughts are not enough. I want climate action. We need climate action. This is an emergency. This is a crisis. Act like it. This is the climate crisis. Prime Minister, stop ignoring those who have so much more knowledge and experience in these areas. Listen to the Indigenous leaders. Listen to the former fire commissioners. Listen to the scientists and the science. Enough is enough. Listen and act. I feel you do not fully understand the severity of these bushfires. You cannot do much to prepare for such catastrophic bushfires, such as the ones that swept through our towns. These were not normal bushfires. These were firestorms. There was virtually no opportunity for us to perform a safe cool fuel reduction burn this season as it was too hot and dry. We've been in drought for so long, which has been worsened by climate change. It's hard to understand the severity of the damage through photos. It is only when I returned home to Nimboida, almost a week after the bushfire, that I began to understand the severity of the damage and comprehend the full scale of destruction and devastation. The burnt smell is disgusting, not pleasant like campfire smoke. It lingers in your clothes and in your car days after. The bush is all burnt. All the creeks have been hammered, destroyed. They are little dry valleys of charcoal, dry creek beds, dusty with ash. Everywhere you look is charcoal. The place looks apocalyptic. As soon as you're surrounded by the devastation and scorched bush, your mood changes. I hate being out there now. It's unrecognisable. This isn't home. So Prime Minister, I invite you to come out and visit us in Nimboida, where every second or third person you meet has lost their house, and those who haven't have lost various other things or are lucky to be alive. Mr. Morrison, I worry you have the misconception that this is normal, so I implore you to speak with the firefighters who did everything they could, who will tell you they have never seen anything like this before, and then listen to the stories of those who stayed behind, and they will recount to you fireballs, ember attack and a wall of fire over 40 metres high. There's no stopping this. And then as we stand on the bare ash earth, while we are surrounded by the remains of our houses, bushland, and charred corpses of trees, then I want you to look around you and take it all in, because when you're there, there's no ignoring it. Then I want you to look me directly in the eyes and tell me these unprecedented bushfire storms are part of a normal cycle. Then I want you to tell me this is not the time to be talking about climate change.
The school kids in Sydney, including Cheyenne Broderick, recorded by Jonica Newby.